You know, of the many lessons on my journey of faith throughout these last 37 and a half years or so of being a believer, the one that I think has taken me the longest to properly or successfully engage with, and I guess it's because it's all about levels of that I've continually, hopefully, increase as I mature as a believer, is this whole lesson of learning how to truly surrender to God. I think it's the hardest lesson for me. That whole thing of it, and it changes as I've gone through parts of my life. There's change in that. I can surrender parts, but I don't want to surrender other parts. You know, my flesh is not willing in areas. It's just not. So, you know, over the years, I guess I've most likely just assumed that generally I knew that in order to flow with God, I had to relinquish my control of outcomes of things and truly trust that He has actually got my best interests at heart because of His plans, because I need to remember that who is He? He is sovereign God. He is the Creator. It is not Sovereign Jeff. It is not King Jesus Jeff. It is not Jeff the Mighty Creator. It's my Heavenly Father who is Sovereign God, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, who is the Great Creator. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I guess the reality that the experiences of surrender throughout my life and doing various things have sometimes felt like I've been almost like I've been diving off a cliff edge, trusting that the water far below would be kind and welcoming rather than angry and foreboding. That's what it's felt like at times. And at various times in varied ways, to say that it has been at times scary has been an incredible understatement. Yet at the same time, it could be well described as incredibly exhilarating. This whole idea of surrendering all to God. The reality is that too many times I've played with the idea of surrender rather than truly engaging with what I should be truly engaging with. You know what? And it's my mind has gone crazy at times. Doolally. When I've thought, oh, okay, I need to surrender. I need to do, you know, and being obedient to God and following after God, you have to surrender things of the flesh often. That's the reality of it. And the trouble is, I have a mind that doesn't like to shut up very much. And so it runs through a whole lot of what-if scenarios. What if this doesn't work out? What if I should maybe wait a little longer? What about if I fail? What about if blah, 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 what if, and therefore stops me from pressing on, because actually, hang on, the doubts, the things are flooded in. I finally realized over the years that these what-if scenarios were not actually protecting me. They were in fact developing areas of doubt in me, and doing so were closing me off to the very idea of surrender and its subsequent release of God's blessing upon my life. Because ultimately, surrender to the will of God ultimately brings the incredible blessing that He is wanting to pour out on us. Surrender is nothing less than obedience. It is nothing less than obedience, and the choice to be deliberately disobedient should not be attractive to us as Christian believers in any way at all. I said should not be. I didn't say isn't. I said it should not be. The issue can never be that of a perfect life or that of our flesh always being in line with the things of the Spirit. You know what? That simply will not happen this side of heaven. So you know what, it's time to go easy on yourself, to not be so hard on yourself, to actually go, whoa, you know what, I am this person wrapped up in this fleshly body who has a mind that is unruly at times, has flesh that is unruly at times, flesh that doesn't follow after the things of God at times, and that will not change until I die and go to be in glory with other believers who have gone before me. You know what? And when I've battled with things eventually in various areas of my life, my spiritual intelligence has finally won. Anybody familiar with the idea of emotional intelligence? Okay, emotional intelligence really is the capability, the capacity, or the ability of the awareness of being in control or expressing our emotions and to handle interpersonal relationships thoughtfully with care, doing what is being right, being doing the thing that is the right thing at the right time, being emotionally aware, being who we need to be in those different situations, or perhaps being socially intelligent. Social intelligence talks about the capability to effectively navigate and negotiate complex social relationships and environments. So we have this also, we have this idea of spiritual intelligence. And for us as Christians, it's a spiritual intelligence would include such things as our ability to recognize how God works through us and to recognize his voice in our ear, his leading in our lives. That's what spiritual intelligence talks about. So in my life, I have recognized that there are times when it's purely my spiritual intelligence that has got me through, because I've learned how to recognize what God is doing, his voice and his leading in various situations. Tozer said this: in one flash of spiritual intelligence, God can take a man or woman, can make a man or woman know in the deepest meaning of the word more that matters to his soul for eternity than can be learned in 10 years of hard study. I surrender all. There's a famous story about a Japanese soldier, it's well known. He wrote a book about it, it's called His 30-Year War. And it talks about his incredible tale of being one of the last born Japanese soldiers to surrender to World War II. Now the story goes, his story is this: he'd been stationed on an island in the Philippines, Lubang Island in the Philippines, was taken over by the US forces in February 1945. Almost all of his comrades were killed or captured, but he and several other men went and hid deep in the jungle. And while his fellow invaders were eventually killed, he held out for 29 more years, dismissing every attempt to coax him out of the jungle. And his primary motivation for not surrendering was his devout belief to the Japanese military code of discipline and honor. And because of this, he had been ordered by superiors to never leave his post until he received a specific order enabling him to do so. So he stayed there. And no matter what was said to him, he would not come out. And it took, in 1974, the Japanese government sent its commanding officer to Lubang Island to order him to surrender. And when he finally stepped out of the jungle to accept the order, he did so in his dress uniform and his sword, with his rifle still in operating condition. How's this? Even in surrender, he maintained his discipline and retained his honor. But how's this? This amazing tale of this guy. And you know what? If you want it, the book is called, the book he wrote is called My 30-Year War. No Surrender, My 30-Year War. But here's the incredible tale that the lesson we can learn from his tale is this. This from his tale of discipline, of evasion and surrender, can be compared to our walk as a Christian believer. When we become a Christian, i.e. born again, we are duty bound by love. If you say, you know what, if you say we're duty bound to do something, we're emphasizing that we feel it's our duty to do it. We're obliged. We feel a duty to, we're bound to something through love as a Christian believer. It's a moral obligation as a matter of duty. And Scripture tells us we are purchased by His blood. We've been bought with a price, etc., etc. That redemption has freed us from all guilt. You know, Romans chapter 3 verse 24 talks about justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So as believers, we have this incredible responsibility to do our part and allow ourselves to make Christ a daily priority in the living of our lives. But you know what? Sadly, we mix this idea of duty that is born out of love for God. We confuse this duty to Him how can I explain it? Because I've got myself all tongue-tied about this now. I'm going to move on from that. It's the easiest. This could be easily said that we evade or avoid being captured by God, because in doing so, it would mean that we are surrendering areas of our lives that we like to control. That's the reality of it, isn't it? We like to control them. But to live the life of God has planned for us, which He promises, it is best we need to wave the white flag of surrender. That is the best thing we can do, is just give in. I give in. Okay, Lord, Your way, not my way. Your will. May Your will be done, Lord. May Your kingdom come. I wave the flag, the white flag, in my flesh. I surrender it. It's just not worth fighting it. How do we do this? Well, Matthew chapter 16, 24, 25 gives us some clear instructions on how to surrender to His loving authority. So Jesus said this to His disciples: if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. There's three lessons right there. If you try, and verse 25 says this: if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. That's what Jesus said to us. So we need to talk about and ask ourselves this question, and it's right that we ask ourselves this question: should I surrender? Should I actually surrender? The answer, of course, is yes. In this passage, there are these four things in these two verses here. Be open to surrender, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and then following after Him. And I want to just touch on all four of those. So being open to surrender is perhaps the hardest one. Anybody agree? Yeah? Okay, there's a couple of you. Okay. Note what Christ's subtle invitation is. It's a subtle invitation to join Him. He says, if any of you wants to be my follower, if any of you wants to be my follower, I don't know about you, but I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ until the day I die. I don't want it to be written on my epitaph, well, He did well for a while. But you know what? And then who knows what He did? He messed up big time and Christians didn't even know Him any longer. What I want to be written on my epitaph, on my gravestone, if there is one, is this thing: He did well right to the very end. He gave Himself for the things of God. Here, there's this open invitation to surrender to Him, to walk through this our life with Him. You know what? And that all sounds wonderful, doesn't it? It all sounds very wonderful. Oh, yes, I'll surrender everything I've got. Oh, yeah, I'll surrender. Yes, that sounds, right? But it can be the hardest thing. Man, it can be the hardest thing. Because the very actions required to surrender go against the grain of our flesh, which is so often our stubborn hearts and our stubborn attitudes in life. Oh, well, I'm talking about myself here, okay? That's my deal anyway. And the reality is that God has expectations that are for our good and which we are meant to fulfill and honor. And in doing so, He lays out some very specific conditions for us as His disciples to follow after. See, as believers, our walk, our life, our behavior, our word should reveal that we are different. It should reveal that we're different. We should get in a crowd of people and they should go, something different about you. How come you're not cussing them down like we are? You're not swearing, you're not mouthing off, you're not... And the outworking of this reality should be that we have made a significant change and a shift in our lives. So it's a hard deal. It's a big deal to be open to surrender, but we need to be open to surrender. Second one is denying ourselves. We must give up our own way, take up our cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said there. Giving up, taking up the cross and following after him. You know what? Surrendering our self-will or our will and embracing his perfect will always leads to incredible blessing. So I can't understand why we fight it sometimes. It's like, duh. If I surrender to obey you, Lord, it will bring me blessing. I'm going to be disobedient then, God. I am deliberately going to be disobedient to that which you ask me to do, and I refuse to surrender in that area of my life to you, Lord. Because I don't want your blessing. It's pretty stupid, isn't it? If it's so stupid, why the heck do we do it then? We agree that's a stupid thing to do, isn't it? Yeah? How many of us do the opposite? Yeah? Or perhaps it's, you know, to deny ourselves means to say no to self and yes to God. This process of denial is to humbly submit our will to God. And perhaps it is to go through life repeating the words that Jesus said the night before he died, and he was praying in the garden and he called out these words, "Not my will, but your will would be done." I surrender all to you, Lord Jesus. Number three, he says this, take up your cross. The third thing he calls us to do is take up our cross in verse 24 there. What does this mean? Well, Scripture tells us a whole lot of things, that we are crucified with Christ, that Christ has paid the penalty for our sins for all mankind, so we could have a relationship with him. John Piper says this about it. The reason we have to take up our cross and deny ourselves is not that we are liable to have too much pleasure in God, but we are so liable to find our pleasure elsewhere. The fact of the matter, if we do not take up our cross, if we do not do that which we are supposed to do, we will find pleasure elsewhere. That is just the simple fact of the matter. That's how we operate. That's how humanity, that's how our whole humanity reacts, rather than actually seeking our pleasure for life in God. And we can never, ever, ever drain that dry. That's impossible to drain dry. Number four is this, just quickly going on. The last thing Jesus says is following after him. Here is the dilemma we face. As following can be a difficult task, especially when it involves giving up any measure of control. You know what? I don't know about you, but something that really bugs me big time and ticks me off is getting behind slow vehicles on a country road and I'm running late. And because I'm naturally a very patient person when I'm traveling, I thought at nearly getting to 58 I'd be way more patient on the road, but you know, at least I don't wave at people anymore. And I don't talk to people in cars from inside my car anymore much, as I used to. I talk to them, but I don't swear at them or cuss them down as much as I used to. I don't swear at them because actually it really has to be something pretty radical for me to drop some bombs. Or how about the one that really ticks me off, and any lorry driver, Robert, forgive me, is going up the M11, going up to Leicester to see Josh and his kids, and it's dual carriageway, and the infuriating lorry drivers, they'd pull out because they can do 60 mile an hour, and the lorry they're passing can do 59 mile an hour, and it takes them half an hour to get past. And one of the guilty ones is standing down the back there. I can understand the lorry drivers doing it, but they don't know that I'm in a hurry to go somewhere. Sometimes I don't like to follow. You know, and as impatient as I am, it's not long before I can get past whoever's in front of me and get on with the journey. You know what? Being dedicated as followers of Christ requires us to surrender control of our lives once and for all. Is there a downside to not surrendering? Yes, well, it says this in verse 25. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. The thing is this, if we seek to save our lives by pursuing our own interests and truly don't embrace this very idea of surrender, we will live in a life. We'll live a life that will inevitably be way more shallow comparative to what that which God has got available for us. That is why total surrender to God through faith in Christ is the most important decision any one of us can ever make in our lives. It all starts off by that first surrender. I surrender my life to you, Lord, is welcoming them into our lives. And then it has to be repeated all the way through our lives. I surrender to you because the ultimate blessing comes on the inside. Always comes on the inside. It's good to have things on the outside, but the greatest ultimate blessing comes on the inside, dealing with those things on the inside. You know, remembering the story of the Japanese soldier and how he needed to be coaxed into surrendering is something of the picture of how it should and could be for us. God will only ever coax us as opposed to forcing us into a corner without any other choice. He always gives us a choice, free choice in all that we do in our lives. And if we don't surrender all, we are like the Japanese soldier and stubbornly stick to the sense of duty and honor to man and not draw close to God as we should draw close to Him. You know, it's time to give in and give up, to be willing to live with an attitude of surrender in all that we do. And it's time for us to recognize that waving the white flag of surrender never ever looked so good. Amen. Amen.